You're listening to KDNK, and right now we're going into the For Land's Sake show. I'm Bill Kite, your host, but today we're going to do something different. Because the public media is threatened as it is by this administration, we'd like to talk a little bit about that threat and what it means to you who want to donate to the station for its future. And if you do want to donate, we're at that period of time now. Please call 970-963-0139. And we have with us also today for a few minutes Megan Passmore, the station manager. Welcome, Megan.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Just a brief, quick history of NPR. It started in 1970 when President Lyndon Johnson signed the Public Broadcasting Act, which established the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And it didn't take very long at all for the assault to begin. In 1972, Richard Nixon became the first of many Republican leaders who tried to cut the funding to public media, vetoed a bill to fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in 1972. In 1984, President Ronald Reagan vetoed a bill that authorized spending increases for public broadcasting. In the 1990s, Speaker Newt Gingrich championed a movement to zero out federal funding for public media. And George W. Bush recommended cuts to the corporation's budget every year he was in office, only to be overridden by Congress. The problem right now is Congress isn't overriding anything in taking the chainsaw that Mr. Musk is taking to public funding. It's just no wonder that we are also seeing an assault. It's no surprise that this administration would like to eliminate NPR and PBS as well. So basically, even recently, Musk came on and talked about U.S. state-affiliated media or government-funded media, talking about NPR like it was a Russian station of some kind, and that's not the case. But defund NPR has become the go word for this administration. And though the NPR does have money that's sent to local stations, and local stations do air a lot from NPR. Tell us a little bit about, if you can, the relationship here to NPR and what we're talking about, Megan.
Yeah, so for KDNK, we are an NPR member station, which means that we pay a fee to be a member. And in, you know, so our fee for being an NPR station member is about $40,000 a year. But that means that we also get to broadcast All Things Considered and Morning Edition.
Right.
And NPR does excellent reporting. And so we, you know, it's an exchange of services. We provide them funding and they provide us with excellent news coverage.
And I enjoy those programs too. So if you enjoy those as well, don't forget to fund us by your donation by calling 963-0139. Mm-hmm. What else would you like to say about this attempt to defund NPR? And PBS.
Well, I think the most important thing people can do is obviously supporting KDNK and local media. The other thing that I would encourage everyone to do is to contact your senators, Hickenlooper, Bennett, and Hurd, and, you know, share your support and love of public media with them. And if you need any scripts, you can go to protectmypublicmedia.org. They're a national organization that is in support of public media, and they have you can sign up to have action alerts. And if there's, you know, when there's need, they'll provide you with scripts and information. You can go there right now, protectmypublicmedia.org, and sign up.
That's a good place to go. I wrote letters. I actually got an answer back from the congressman and the senator. So it does. They do pay attention, mm-hmm. especially if they get enough people really supporting NPR and supporting this radio station, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, of note, just in this public, federal funding for public media, you know, to varying degrees, different radio stations, whether you're metro or rural, really the federal funding hurts rural stations the most.
Right.
You know, the threat of that funding being eliminated. For KDNK, it's ranged over the years. You know, it used to hover in the, like, 22% Last year, it actually jumped up till about 27%, mostly because we got a bigger dollar amount from CPB than we have in the past. And that funding, there's kind of like a base funding, and then you get extra funding if you're a rural station, which we qualify for, as well as, you know, the money you raise contributes to how much money you get from CPB.
Right. Okay, that gives you a little bit of background. And how much are we trying to raise this particular go-around?
This drive, we're raising $88,100.
All right. So help us out a little bit there if you can, and you can do that by calling 970-963-0139 if you love listening to this station.
Yeah, you can also go to kdnk.org.
All right.
If you're doing computer work, you can just hit the donate button, and easy as pie, support public media.
And our person that's doing the most of the chainsaw cutting, Mr. Musk, did a tweet the other day, defund NPR. And, you know, the thing is, that's just not the way to go about it. It's not, I mean, if you really were focused on saving money and finding cuts to make in federal spending, you could do it by reducing or closing the tax loopholes of the wealthiest. And the cutting crusaders with their chainsaw, though, are not really wanting to do that. They want to preserve their wealth and to find ways to find money that doesn't affect them, but it affects us. And so if you love this station like I do, like Megan does, those of us that are here as volunteers to get the word like we try to of the community matters, then that's something that I think you should really take heart, because this is an actual threat. It's not something that we're just making up. It's not BS, it's for sure. And also, you know, the thing is, both NPR and PBS receive substantial funding from government sources, but it's not something that is all that easy. It comes with rules. It comes with things you can do and can't do. And there have been people in the past, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is a libertarian think tank and a nonprofit. The political writer Fred Smith, in March 9th, 1984, in Washington, D.C., advanced the principles of limited government when he started this nonprofit. And, of course, libertarian individual liberty and free enterprise, and has basically talked about that public broadcasting should be a private matter. And that seems to be the problem with a lot of the right-wing elements in our society. They want to privatize everything. And this is a radio station that's community-based, and we support the community. The community supports us. And going private, it's not a good idea, is it, Megan?
Well, you know, there's lots of private radio stations. You can turn right. the dial and go elsewhere. Right. But I think the beauty of public radio is that, especially with KDNK, we are an open door, and just anyone can come and learn how to be a DJ and learn how to be a public affairs host. We have monthly trainings where we invite you to come and be a part of the station.
Exactly. If I can do this, you can do this. and it's important. You know, actually, it also started with PBS back in 1969 when Fred Rogers, who is the creator of the children's TV show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, testified before Congress to protest cuts to public media that were proposed by the Nixon administration. And after his testimony, it underscored the value of helping children, in managing their emotions. And a proposal to cut public media funding by half was waved away by Senator John O. Pastor, a Democrat, who said to Mr. Rogers, "Looks like you just earned your $20 million." So that's about it for PBS. Since we're affiliated with NPR, we'll talk more about NPR. But it hasn't been an assault on public media, and by that I also include libraries, which we'll talk about if we have time at the end here. But KDNK also, community service grants are awarded, aren't they, for NPR? Mm-hmm. Do we receive any of those?
Well, I guess I can't speak to the NPR. We get a community service grant from Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, from Corporation for Public Broadcasting, where the funding comes from, as we mentioned earlier, when it was established in 1970, I believe it was.
And it's a separate, it is a non, like, money is appropriated by Congress every 2 years for CBB, for media. And, you know, like, so money has already been appropriated for 2 years, which includes fiscal year 2025, which we're in, and 2026.
So if something happened and we were defunded, would you have to make up that difference?
We have money for 2025.
Okay, good. Okay.
KD&K has money, and money has been appropriated for 2026.
Well, let's hope it stays appropriated, right?
Correct.
Once again, if you enjoy listening to the usual For Land's Sake program, then I encourage you to call in today while you're thinking about it, while you're listening, to 970-963-0139, or, as Megan said, go to
KDNK.org.
There you go. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So let's skip back to a little bit here, back to 1920. That wasn't, we weren't around then, were we? The question was asked by a fellow who was a conservative host of a syndicated radio show and a Fox News show. He asked, why does NPR still exist? And he said, it's an outlet of Democratic Party propaganda. Well, I happen to be an independent. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. And so I take that as an insult. But Mr. Trump then retweeted this post, added a comment of his own, a very good question. And so that really donations to many NPR affiliates spiked in that day after his tweet. And so sometimes it doesn't pay to attack things that the public really enjoys and that is a community-based way to get information out, like KDNK is. And, you know, rural stations don't get as much money as the stations do in urban areas. So really, you know, the budget is decided, and we're okay for now if everything holds true like it should. But the future of public media is just not looking really good at this point. And so I think, especially if you want to do something about it, like Megan said, to write your congressman, your senator, and let them know how you feel. And if enough people do that, they do pay attention. So that's what you could do. Let's talk a little bit about the American Library Association. And I think Megan is really busy right now. She may want to.
I can do some work while okay. We're chatting. I'll hang
And the thing about that, I talked to someone here recently about American Library Association was really supporting the Institute of Museum and Library Services. And I'll do a disclaimer here. I work for a museum until the end of this month. And though I've never applied for funding, they do provide funding for local museums like the Frontier Museum in Glenwood Springs. But it's a nonpartisan, independent agency dedicated to supporting and funding museums and libraries in critical community services like we're talking about over the radio. They provide in every state across the country money that affects the state libraries. And the IMLS funding for Colorado State Library, in that it pays for 66% of their staff. And it also pays for the Talking Book Library for the blind and physically handicapped, rather than directly affecting libraries like the ones here that are funded by Garfield County in Garfield County. But libraries and museums, you know, have collective history and knowledge just like radio stations do. And while they produce safe places for learning and culture expression, they also provide access to critical public resources, and they represent the heart of their community like public radio stations do. They enrich thousands of lives every day. And IMLS was created in 1996, hasn't been around that long, but it was reauthorized under both Clinton, George Bush, and Obama, and Trump administrations, amazingly enough, but then all of a sudden now that is going to be defunded, according to the president. So really, cutting programs at IMLS will violate the law by eliminating programs Congress has already provided funding for and directing the IMLS to undertake. And that's part of the problem of trying to do away with organizations that were created by Congress, is because they have mandates and that, you know, they're told they shall do this, this, and that. And it seems to me like that Congress should be squawking quite a bit when things like NPR and PBS and libraries are not being funded like they should be. Okay, I got notes today. I usually don't have notes like this, but I've got quite a few pages of notes. And some people are really talking about why NPR really should refocus on other things, but the fact that the overall funding model looks dim. Well, I don't think that's the case. Just because technology has changed the landscape a little bit, I like to listen to the radio, and I know a lot of other people that do. I listen to it when I go to work, when I come home, and I think most people would agree that at least KDNK is a very popular radio station, and we would hate to see it go away.
Yeah, I mean, I think the value of radio, even in this day and age, is that it's available to 99% of the population.
True, yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a lot of places where still internet is hard or it's slow, and radio is still there. And in times of emergency, it's a lifeline.
When
the internet goes down, you need to know what's going on.
<That's true. laughs>
Still need radio.
Yeah. And you partner here with print media like the Soper Sun. Mm-hmm. They still have a radio show here, don't they?
Every Thursday.
That's important that local media is involved in a number of things together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's like one of the beauties of KDNK is that so many people get to have a voice, whether it's nonprofit interviews or public service announcements. You know, you can find out so much information by listening to KDNK and our local. You know, we have two people on staff that are providing daily news coverage, and you know, we have all sorts of partnerships with businesses and other entities all around town. So we're continually providing the listener with new information.
Absolutely. And information like public lands and what happens to land, which is what my job is that I've been doing now for a while. And so for information you won't get anywhere else, tune in to KDNK. And if you'd like to help us continue doing what we do, then just donate by dialing 970-963-0139 or kdnk.org. And someone will answer your phone call, or you can just quietly get on your computer and do what I said at kdnk.org. What would go away if funding was cut for you in, say, 2026?
It's
a conversation
I don't want to have over the airwaves right now, Bill.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, that's true. I'd probably be the first to go. And so,
no, you need to stick around because we don't pay for you.
Yeah, there you go. I'm pretty easy.
No, I mean, I guess, you know, the short answer is there'd be some tough decisions to make.
There would be.
You know, 27% of our budget is a big, you know, I mean, that equates to $170,000. And that's a big number to cut out. I kind of did some back of the napkin, cutting some things out, and I got down to like maybe 50. And that was like taking away syndicated programming and some other things. So, it's not I'd like to try to make up that dollar amount in other ways or, you know,
right.
Get real creative.
tell the audience a little bit about some of the other things that are happening here at KDNK. Like you've got events going on. There are other shows besides music shows. There are other public affairs shows.
Yeah, we have over 25 public affairs shows.
All right.
So that's something to celebrate and be proud of. You know, we have Bill Kite gets to come on every month, and we have quite a few other people who come on once a month and talk about various topics. And then we also have some weekly shows Everything Under the Sun, which you pointed to a moment ago, that the Sopra Sun does. They come on every week. We also air Regional Roundup. We're part of Rocky Mountain Community Radio. It's a coalition of 20 member stations in the Rocky Mountain West, spanning mostly Colorado, but also Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico. And Maeve Conran's the managing editor of Rocky Mountain Community Radio, and she produces a weekly show kind of taking news stories on a certain topic from all different stations and producing a half-hour public affairs show, which has been really fun to air. We've been airing it probably since its beginning. I'm trying to think of, I mean, we're on episode 92, so maybe it's, you know, almost 2 years.
All right. There's some of the syndicated things, too, I like, is like Bird Notes.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite, I think. And then there's also the STAR program. What's that called?
Yep, Stardate.
Stardate, mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't heard that for a while. Maybe I've just been missing it.
8:05, just a little after 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, and then we do, you know, I mean, the other things that are, you know, we do New Yorker Radio Hour, Moth Radio Hour, Reveal, Latino USA, those are all the evening 6 to 7 programs.
The Moth Radio show is I like the mm-hmm. stories because as a storyteller, yeah. I really enjoy that part of the programming.
Yeah, there's some great stories in there.
And then we've got Cody here that's just coming in the door there. Cody, how you'd like to say something to us, if you would, while you're here?
Mike Four.
There you go.
Hey. How's it going in here? I just wanted to come and join the party.
Oh, do it. Yeah, we'd like to have you.
In praise of community radio. And I just want to say how much we appreciate you, Bill, and your expertise and a lot of different things that you've done to serve our community throughout your life. And to me, I think our public affairs programs are one of the most important things on KDNK, just to give a voice to all of the different people, the full spectrum of our community. And we do host a DJ orientation once a month. We always have done something like that. That's how Megan and I got into the door too, like about 15 years ago, I think. And that's actually coming up this Thursday.
There you go. At, get a chance if you want to be a DJ right there for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, at 5:45 right here at the station. We just fill out some paperwork, a little DJ application and contract, and when you're available, what kind of program you would be interested in. And we just take a tour of the station and eventually get in here in the on-air studio just to kind of do a little basic overview of how the average show goes and what to expect. It's really not intimidating at all. And really, everyone is welcome. And you cracked me up, Bill, a second ago, and you were like, if I can do it, then anyone can.
Well yeah, because it does take some nervousness at first being on the air, but it's sort of like Luke said one day, nobody's ever died of dead air. So I thought that was pretty good, too.
And I was just sharing with Brendan Gerardo, the executive director of the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, how much I really enjoy the mistakes because I know that it's real.
Exactly. And I've got enough of those for sure. Yeah. Yeah, and you're going to make mistakes. That's so if you're one of those kind of people, you're a perfectionist, don't worry about it because we all make mistakes. But that does make it real for sure.
What a great instructor Brendan is for explaining that he's actually told some of the children when they get really nervous and make a mistake that he says, you know, to all of those listeners out there, that just means they know that you're a real person and right. They're smiling with you and just going along yeah. with it. And then it sort of changes the perspective to the kid of like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, everyone does that.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're people that, you know, you do just regular old checks, would be happy to receive a check from you. Just drop by the studio here. What's the address? I always forget.
76 South 2nd Street in downtown Carbondale.
There we
what
go.
Is the zip code? 81623?
Yeah, if you want to drop it in the mail, I'll do our P.O. Box.
Oh, yeah, right.
P.O. Box 1388 in Carbondale.
All right, P.O. Box 1388, Carbondale 81623. Mm-hmm. Or you want to come see how things work here at the station? Yeah. I'll give you 5 minutes after the show to show you if you want to come by.
Yeah, I actually was having a lunch meeting and we were chatting about just how like vibrant the studio is, whether there's like two people here or not, or more, or 20 if there's youth radio kids running around the station. But just how special it is to kind of walk in the door and come in and see the magic behind the scenes, because you can have a picture in your mind about, you know, the DJ or the staff, yep, or just what happens here, and then you walk in and it's a very lively, energetic space.
It is, and unless you've been to see it, you probably just don't realize it, how special this place really is, and the magic that happens here.
It can be like church to some. It can be like therapy session. And yeah, just by yourself. Yeah, you can have a spiritual experience. I've had many an experience, even late night. I've cried while I'm playing music on the board, and yeah, I really felt like coming from my heart to the whole universe. You know.
And Cody, you're still in charge of the music department, aren't you?
I do music stuff. I communicate with music promoters and download a lot of the music in our library, and I have to program that 24/7 to make sure that there's something going on. But I think even more importantly, just the general programming of like which shows are going to play at 6 p.m., the syndicated programming, and coordinating with the public affairs host like you, yep, and just to kind of overall, and coordinating the DJs to overall schedule 24/7 of what is going to be played next.
There's a lot of work behind the scenes here, folks. Right there was just a little bit of it. So if you haven't donated yet and you're listening to this show, just remember, it can't happen unless you help us out. So 970-963-0139 or kdnk.org, or send that check in the mail to P.O. Box
1388,
Carbondale, Colorado 81623. Well, you guys are really busy. Give us some parting words of wisdom there, Cody, if you could.
Oh, God. I don't know. We can't be fearful about whatever is going on with the government, and the human spirit is so resilient and has shown that time and time again throughout all human history, and we're going to make this happen as a community together, and KDNK is going to be vibrant and strong throughout the future because of you, dear listener, from your heart and soul. And
absolutely,
we still need your financial support.
That's right. Yeah, by golly, for sure. But yeah, definitely. If I had to, I would double my contribution every year. I really would, to make this happen, to keep it on the air. So, give what you can. It's much appreciated. And always remember, there's something good to listen to on KDNK, whether it's music or public affairs, whatever it might be, or syndicated shows from NPR. So, just remember that KDNK is on the air because of you, and we are doing this so that you can have something to listen to that's worthwhile.
Yep, be a part of the solution. KDNK.org, 970-963-0139.
All right, any parting words, Megan?
I just said it, be part of the solution.
I love it.
Be a part of the community, be a part of the connection.
Yep. For sure.
Do it
and
now.
I think we need to pull up the fader to go out with a translator now, Bill. On
all
the
right.
Dad one.
All right.
Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, well, well, Carbondale, well. The Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Broadcasting.